But anyways, I showed that video because today we get to talk about end times. And you're thinking, what does that video have to do with end times? Well, the point of that video is that the goal of the gospel is that we get God in the end, not just what he can do for us. That he himself is the actual treasure. So I'm a little jaded on this because 15 years ago at Sabetha, we taught a class on how to study your Bible. And four people showed up. How to study your Bible, four people showed up. In that same season of life, we also taught a class on end times. At the same church. And 44 people showed up. And I have been jaded ever since. That we as a people can be more fascinated about future events, the future apocalypse, the end time discussions, more fascinated about that than we are about knowing God himself. So, up on the screen, knowing God should be more fascinating than discussing the end of the world. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark 13. That's where we're going to be today. Mark 13. And while you're turning there, you need to know that people have argued over end times severely. Differing views on end times have split churches because people argue over it. They will argue over questions like, is there even going to be a rapture? I just offended some of you who care deeply about that. Or the thousand-year millennium rule of Christ. What is that? Or what about the tribulation? 7 years of tribulation. What is that? Will believers go through that, or will they be raptured out of it, spared from it? So here's where I want you to land personally. And here's where I want you to land because I am your pastor. Can you get to the spot in your relationship with Christ where you trust whatever he has planned is the best? Can you get to the spot in your following Jesus as Lord that whatever he has planned for the end of the world, you trust that's best? That's where I land personally. Rather than give you a chart and a graph and a bunch of numbers, I did come across a Bible verse recently that settles all debates on the end of the world. You're going, oh boy. This is more funny than it is serious, but this is in your Bible, and it's Revelation 10:7. This is great. When the seventh angel blows his trumpet. Here we go. This is my view on end times. God's mysterious plan will be fulfilled, okay? It will all happen just as he announced to his prophets. Make sense? It's more of a joke. Everything will happen just as he said it was. Now let's not argue it. Debate over. Mysterious plan will be revealed just as he said it would. But we're going to get into Mark 13, and as Jesus talks about this topic, there is one more important thing that I need us to recognize about ourselves. And that is, as humans, we are in a bigger hurry to end the world than God is. I don't even know if you realize that about yourselves. Just think about it with me. 100% of the predictions for the end of the world have been wrong. You ever think about that? There was a book that came out, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 1988. Anybody remember it? Yeah? No Baptist? Okay. Well, Jesus didn't come in 88. Do you know what that same author did? I'm not making this up. 89 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 1989. It had way less sales. And here's what you need to know. This is just truth. Almost every generation has thought that their generation is going to be the one when Jesus comes back. We're not new thinking that, oh, this is really the time. In the book of Acts, it hadn't even been 40 days since Jesus came back from the dead. He's still appearing to people saying, yeah, I'm alive again. It hadn't even been 40 days since the cross. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, the apostles thought, is it now? So the apostles were asking Jesus, they kept asking him more than once, is now the time for you to free Israel and restore the kingdom? Is it now? And Jesus responds to them, keep going, the Father alone has set those times. He doesn't want you to know them. But here's what I do want you to do. Verse 8, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. And for what reason? So that you can be my witnesses, telling everybody about Christ everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. They are asking, is it now? Is it now? Is it our generation? And he is saying, dude, go make disciples. Get busy. It's not for you to know times. So stop trying to figure it out. But let's go to Mark chapter 13, and we're going to see what Jesus is saying here and why he's saying it. Mark chapter 13, we're going to start in verse 14. And I just want to read this for you slow, especially if this is your first time hearing it. The day is coming when you will see the sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing where he shouldn't be. Reader, pay attention. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. A person out on the deck of a roof, don't even go back into the house to pack. A person out in the field, don't even go home to get your coat. How terrible it will be for pregnant women or for nursing mothers in those days. And pray that your flight would not be in winter, except for you who like cold. For there, get this, 19, there will be greater anguish in those days than at any time since God created the world, and it'll never be so great again. In fact, verse 20, unless the Lord shortened that time of tragedy, not a single person would survive. But for the sake of his chosen ones, he has shortened those days. Then if anyone tells you, verse 21, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. For false messiahs, that just means savior, false saviors and false prophets will rise up and perform signs and miracles and wonders, so even to deceive, if it were possible, God's chosen ones. Here's the point of the passage, verse 23. Watch out. That's it. I have warned you about this ahead of time. At that time, verse 24, after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man. That's a name for Jesus. Everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. He will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. No questions? Verse 23 is the main thrust of the why he's saying all this. It is watch out, be ready. I have warned you ahead of time. He's going to say later in this chapter, be on guard. Stay ready. So there are three possible interpretations of what Jesus is talking about, of the exact event. When does this happen? Number one, Jesus could be talking about the destruction of the temple that happens in 70 AD. It'd be about 40 years after this. It happened. The Romans came in. Not one stone was left upon another. And our clue for that is that in verse 4, his disciples literally ask him, tell us when all these things will happen, that the temple will be destroyed. So that's the first one. It could be the destruction of the temple. The second thing he could be talking about is the end of the world. Because of verse 19, he says, never since God created the world will there be such anguish than this. And are you going to tell me that the Holocaust or Hiroshima was not greater anguish than the destruction of the temple in 70 AD? So there's that. Or three, it's both. It's partially fulfilled in 70 AD, and it's going to be fulfilled at the end of the world. And so when you ask me which one of these three is the right one, my answer is yes. I trust whatever he has planned. So I just want to look at a few verses in here because I'd love to dive into the text. Starting in 14, the day is coming when you will see a sacrilegious object that causes desecration standing where he should not be. In a lot of Bibles, it is called the abomination of desolation. For some reason, in my childhood, I always think of the abominable snowman. And the 1980s version was creepy. But the abomination of desolation is specifically referred to in Daniel. And we know that. That's not a connection that we are making because Matthew says in Daniel it talks about the abomination of desolation. So I'm just going to read it for you real quick. It's Daniel 11, 31 and 32. His army will take over the temple, pollute the sanctuary. This is 600 years before Jesus. Put a stop to the daily sacrifices and set up a sacrilegious object that causes desecration. There's a way that theologians deal with prophecy, and they call it the already and not yet. That's how they deal with events. Has this happened? This, yes. Could it happen again on a much larger scale? Yes. And so it did happen. It happened before Jesus even appeared. Antiochus, Romans, Antiochus Epiphany in 167 BC came in to the temple and sacrificed a pig on the altar of God to abominate everything that was holy. And then it happened in 70 AD when the Romans brought in pagan gods into the temples and destroyed the whole thing. But I want to give you an example, this is not to bore you, of it on a much larger scale, like the end of the world. And it comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them. Even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or even a letter supposedly from us, don't be fooled. For that day will not come, the end times, until there's a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness, which I think we call the Antichrist, is revealed, the one who brings destruction. Listen to what he will do. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you about this when I was with you? Well, thanks for putting it in a letter. And you know what is holding him back? For he can only be revealed when his time comes, for this lawlessness is already at work secretly and will remain secret until the one who's holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. This is terrifying stuff, but check out this next verse. I don't know how you guys can hold this in. When the Lord Jesus comes, he will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him with the splendor of his coming. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power, counterfeit signs, counterfeit miracles. Don't be deceived. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those who are on their way to destruction. And because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them, God causes them to be deceived, and they will believe lies then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. The Antichrist will come in and set himself up as God himself, abomination of desolation, and then look at what Jesus does. He destroys him with a great mighty battle? No, with the breath of his mouth. This is no match. We don't even have to hype it up like it's a UFC thing. He comes and just the splendor of his coming just destroys the Antichrist. Whose side do you want to be on? It's a no-brainer. Back to Mark, verse 21. I'm going to wrap this up, don't worry. I know most of you guys come here because I preach short sermons. Am I wrong? 21. Then if anyone tells you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. That's the point. He's warning you. This deception will come. False messiahs and false prophets will rise up and try to deceive, even if it were possible. False messiahs will come. Get this, but then it says right here, true followers will not be deceived. True followers will not be deceived. 26 and 27. Everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. He will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. The Son of Man is Jesus coming on the clouds. He sends out his angels, that's messengers, to gather his chosen ones from the farthest ends of the world. Now here we go. I listened to way too much on end times this week. Way too much. I listened to sermons back to back on people that had opposing views. This guy, John MacArthur, explained why this guy over here is wrong. And this guy, Kevin DeYoung, explained why that guy over there is wrong. And they preached them 10 years apart. It was actually overwhelmingly confusing. Like, I would say trigonometry would be easier. But to sum it all up and put a bow on it so that you're not overwhelmed like I was, the most important question I want us to ask for ourselves personally is this. Do you believe it? That's where I want you to, like, forget, oh man, the stuff that they had, they were calculating 77 times 7 minus 3.5 time and half a time. I'm like, just stop. Do you believe it? Do you believe it, or is Jesus bluffing? The things he talks about here are not a wintry retreat. Are you ready for whatever suffering the church might have to go through? Are you ready to not be deceived by somebody saying, look, there's the Messiah. Watch out. I don't mean are you ready like are you a doomsday prepper? All the canned green beans and water bottles in the world will not help you one single second on Judgment Day. Hope I didn't just ruin anybody's plans. The only escape that will help you on that day is having Jesus as your Lord. Do you humbly submit to his word? Is he your precious treasure? Are you fascinated with God himself, or are you more fascinated with the apocalypse? The best way to get ready for eternity is to love the only one who owns it. The best way to get ready for eternity is to love the only one who owns it, Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, there's going to be one more sermon on end times next week. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your truth. We don't have to guess who you are because you have spoken to us. We don't have to guess who the true Messiah is because you have shown us. I pray that you would mature your church by knowing you intimately, listening to your voice, spending their days pursuing you. And I pray that you would prepare your church for whatever is ahead, that we would be ready. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.